This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Zona Plus, an effective non-drug treatment for high blood pressure. It's a safe, easy way to lower your blood pressure naturally. It's so effective it works for 9 in 10 people. The Zona Plus is a high-tech smart device that guides you through a patented therapy that's personalized to your unique physiology. To find out more, go to orderzona.com or call toll-free 888-408-6141. As a listener to Intelligent Medicine, you can get $50 off and free shipping. Just use the coupon code Hoffman at checkout at orderzona.com. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and today we're going to take a deep dive on the subject of a blood test called hemoglobin A1C. There's a lot of buzz about hemoglobin A1C. Some say it is the most important blood test that you can undertake, that it has a lot of predictive value in terms of your risk of disease and your risk of dying. And the goal is to optimize your hemoglobin A1C. But recently, one of our listeners sent us an email. By the way, you can send emails to radioprogram@AOL.com with your questions. And basically what she said, if I can paraphrase, is that she has been endeavoring to lower her hemoglobin A1C to keep it within the low 5 range. We'll talk a little bit about what the ranges are in just a few moments. But recently, she read that the powers that be, the American College of Physicians, decreed that it was okay for folks to have a hemoglobin A1C that was 7 to 8. So she facetiously wrote, does that mean I can put the feed bag on again and have cheesecake and pizza and soda? And let's do a little bit of a deep dive on the subject and talk about hemoglobin A1C. First of all, you know, what's she referring to? Well, indeed, there is a guidance statement from the prestigious American College of Physicians that came out this year in March of 2018. And basically what they said was that, quote, clinicians should aim to achieve a hemoglobin A1C level between 7 and 8 in most patients with type 2 diabetes. And I'm going to highlight the last part of that sentence, underline, Dr. Ebel quotes, with type 2 diabetes. And that's really the discriminator here, because if you have diabetes, it's a different ball game than if you are a normal person trying to optimize. However, patients with diabetes can also go for the gold and try and optimize their hemoglobin A1C, especially if they're type 2 diabetics. But according to one of my good colleagues, who we'll talk about in just a few moments, Dr. Richard Bernstein, you can achieve remarkable lowering of hemoglobin A1C, even if you're type 1 diabetic. And so there's no need to resign yourself to a less than optimal hemoglobin A1C. To quote a couple of luminaries, first of all, the aforementioned Dr. Richard Bernstein, he's written a book called Dr. Bernstein's Diabetes Solution, which is very popular. And by way of a little background, Dr. Bernstein is a former fellow medical student of mine when I was at Albert Einstein College of Medicine. He, at the time, was the oldest medical student in the class. I was a little older because I went out and worked for a couple of years. So I entered medical school at about 25. He was, well, I don't know, maybe he was even pushing 40 when he was in medical school. It's very unusual. But he had a special entree into medical school because he was a type 1 diabetic who had a previous career developing some of the fingerstick technology that we now commonly feel we take it for granted. It's ubiquitous, but he was an engineer in a prior incarnation and developed that technique of doing finger sticks to determine blood sugar. And indeed, during medical school, he was a constant presence, sticking, you know, a little lancet into his finger, putting in a little device, checking his blood sugar levels, and then injecting himself with a corresponding amount of insulin. And in fact, we at the time were adversaries, well, friendly adversaries, in a debate about the merits of low-carb diets. He took the position that we should minimize our carbohydrates and that meat and fat were okay. And at the time, I was a vegan, a macrobiotic vegan, subsisting on brown rice and soybeans and tofu and whole grains. He took a different position. And it turns out that I think history vindicated him. This was about 40 years ago when ultra-low-fat diets were popular. His belief, and I'm quoting from his book, Dr. Bernstein's Diabetes Solution, for my patients, a truly normal hemoglobin A1C ranges from 4.2% to 4.6%. Mine is consistently 4.5%, which is darn near a miracle for a type 1 diabetic. Most type 1 diabetics have a lot of trouble getting their hemoglobin A1C below 7. Also, another luminary in the field, my good colleague Dr. David Perlmutter, who we interviewed frequently here on Intelligent Medicine, who I have a great deal of respect for, writes, quote, most commonly, people are told that having an A1C of 5.6 to 5.8 should be considered normal. But these levels already put you in the second highest category for brain shrinkage. I believe that based on this information, we should strive to keep our A1C at 5.2 or even lower. And he elaborates on in Grain Brain, where he advocates for a low-carb diet. Also, he talks about the adverse effects of gluten on the brain. That's a separate issue from blood sugar. So how do we reconcile these contradictory statements? So why do the latest medical guidelines call for an easing of hemoglobin A1C goals when these respected clinicians argue for aggressive blood sugar lowering? Well, let's first of all define hemoglobin A1C. In contrast to glucose, you know, when you get a regular blood test, a chemistry, you'll get a glucose, or when you do a finger stick, you'll do a glucose, but it only measures blood sugar at a given point in time, instantaneously. And that does not give you a complete snapshot, because you might be very virtuous, you might have consumed a very low-carb meal, or you might do it fasting, and your blood sugar seems pretty good, but it's not catching the times when your blood sugar is through the roof at other times. After a meal that may send your blood sugar skyrocketing, or perhaps under a condition of stress that it can also raise blood sugar. In contrast, a hemoglobin A1C measures average glucose over an interval of 3 to 4 months. Now, you may say, well, why isn't it, a number that's high double digits or low triple digits like sugar? Well, it's actually, it's a measure of the percentage of a type of hemoglobin in your blood. Hemoglobin is the protein in your blood that carries oxygen. And hemoglobin gets glycosylated in the presence of sugar. This test is taking advantage of a harmful consequence of blood sugar on the body's proteins. Not just hemoglobin, but all the proteins in your body are exposed to sugar. And over time, they become glycated. They literally cook in a low-temperature version of something called caramelization. Caramelization, for those of you who are familiar with culinary science, is a process by which proteins in foods brown when combined with sugar. So, you know, if you want to make a nice marinade for your spare ribs, you know, you may include something like molasses or any type of sugar. That, under conditions of heat, will cause a nice browning reaction. But, you know, when it comes to food, that's tasty. But when it comes to your eyes, your brain, your heart, your arterial walls, all the organs of your body, that is not a good thing. It subjects all our organs to degenerative stress, and it accelerates aging. So we take advantage of the fact that our blood is easily accessible via venipuncture to take an assay of how the proteins in our body are being glycated or glycosylated in relation to their exposure to sugar in our bloodstream. And so this process also is a process that affects our skin. More rapid skin aging is associated with glycation. So there are more consequences than just a high blood sugar to all the organs in our body. And the hemoglobin A1C reflects that. Now, red blood cells have a lifespan of 120 days. So that's the value of the hemoglobin A1C. When you look at the hemoglobin that's glycated in the blood, you get a record of what's happening on average over the last 3 or 4 months. And so let's say that you're going to see Dr. Hoffman at the end of the month of October, and you decide that, you know, after the summer in which you've indulged in, well, you know, kind of a hedonistic lifestyle, maybe you had too much pizza or pina coladas on summer vacation, too much in the way of delicious fruit and watermelon, maybe, you know, some ice cream or gelato. And then after Labor Day, you decide to get religion and in preparation for your appointment in October. And so what's going to happen is that to some extent, your blood sugar on average will be skewed by your experience during the summer, which is within that span of 120 days. And your results may not reflect your virtuous behavior, which you embarked on after Labor Day when you got back down to brass tacks and started to follow a healthier diet program. You know, if you're thinking, you know, that it's a test where you got to be good the week before or make sure you're fasting before the test, unlike glucose, that's not going to really affect the hemoglobin A1C that much. I mean, yes, it's weighted, so, you know, a month or two of virtuous behavior will bring that number down. But the profligate eating that you undertook during the, you know, the prior months may still pull that hemoglobin A1C upwards. Okay, folks, at this point, we usually allow our sponsors an opportunity to share a message with you, so here goes. Listen up.
Do you want to manage your blood pressure without medication? I have some exciting news about an effective non-drug treatment. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, here to tell you about the Zona Plus. It's a safe, easy way to lower your blood pressure naturally. It's so effective, it works for 9 in 10 people. Zona Plus is a high-tech smart device that guides you through a patented therapy that's personalized to your unique physiology. At least 22 clinical studies confirm regular use can result in an average decrease in blood pressure of 10% or more in just 4 to 8 weeks. To find out more, go to orderzona.com or call toll-free 1-888-408-6141. That's 1-888-408-6141 or orderzona.com. As a listener to Intelligent Medicine, the company's offering you $50 off and free shipping. Just use the coupon code Hoffman at checkout. It's been a long time since I've been this excited about a new natural medical innovation, the Zona Plus, at orderzona.com.
Thanks for listening and thanks for supporting our sponsors. They're what make Intelligent Medicine a continuing free resource to you. And now back to our discussion about hemoglobin A1C. So, since it's an average, what the hemoglobin A1C can't tell you is how much your blood sugars fluctuate or bounce around. And so, and that's useful because, someone has a hemoglobin A1C that's not so great. It's 7, and that's considered in the diabetic range. Let's review what the ranges are. Generally, 5 to 5.6 or 7 is considered normal. Of course, Dr. Perlmutter and Dr. Bernstein would insist on a lower hemoglobin A1C, but I'm talking about for general practice and what you'll see on lab ranges. 5.8 to 6.2 or even up to 6.4 is considered borderline and is indicative of prediabetes. And above 6.2 or 6.4 is considered fully in the range of diabetics. So coming back to our example, a 7, not so great. But what's actually going on there? It's actually an average. So if you want to find out if your blood sugars are bouncing around a lot, and indeed, some diabetics have a problem. They're using medication, especially insulin, which drops their blood sugar ultra low at times. And at times it's very high, but it might average 7. So two people with a 7 might have a very different pattern of blood sugars. One person might have blood sugars that range in the low hundreds and fairly consistent, and others may have blood sugars that jump into the 200s and 300s from time to time, but it still averages out to 7. There's a test that can help delineate that. It's called the GlycoMark test, GlycoMark. It's a relatively new test. It's particularly useful to find out if diabetic patients taking medication are ranging too high and too low. It's a little less valuable for patients who have good hemoglobin A1Cs because, you know, if it's good, it's good. Another test that sheds light on the hemoglobin A1C is the C-peptide test. Now, let's say you're someone who's going to the doctor and you're monitoring your hemoglobin A1C. And you start out with a hemoglobin A1C a couple of years ago, it's 5.8. And the next time you go to the doctor, it's 6.0. The next time you go to the doctor, it's 6.3. And the next time you go to the doctor, it's 6.5. And the doctor informs you that, uh-oh, you are going diabetic. Unfortunately, a lot of doctors wait too long before they warn patients about that. More on that later. If a person's hemoglobin A1C is drifting upward, there are two possible causes. The most common cause is what's called insulin resistance, where the body is making too much insulin in a futile attempt to regulate blood sugar, but because of resistance in the fat cells and in the body, in the, you know, in the receptors for insulin, there's a need for higher and higher and higher levels of insulin. On the other hand, there are some people where the progressive increases in the hemoglobin A1C indicate a failure to produce enough insulin. And that's more what happens in type 1 diabetes or insulin-dependent diabetes. And this actually helps us determine what medications are best for patients. Sometimes patients do require insulin. Type 2 diabetics, the insulin-resistant patients, respond really well to very low-carb diets and exercise. Type 1 patients also respond to diet and exercise, but they ultimately require insulin, at least to some degree. They can't go off insulin. So that's the C-peptide test. It can be used as a tiebreaker to determine the cause of rising glucoses. So in terms of fasting glucose, fasting glucose is not the greatest way to determine whether a person's becoming diabetic. I think hemoglobin A1C is really the best test. But if your fasting glucoses are consistently over 90, consider pre-diabetes, get the hemoglobin A1C test. And if there's over 100, you know, definitely you have to have a high suspicion that you're progressing towards diabetes if you're truly fasting. The agreed-upon cutoff for suspicion of diabetes in conventional medicine is a 90-minute post-meal glucose of 140 or less. Now, when you have a hemoglobin A1C that's borderline, sometimes it's useful to get out a glucometer. You know, you can obtain them cheaply at drugstores and start finger sticking and start analyzing your response to meals. I recently wrote an article with a family member who's pregnant, who was told that she was borderline gestational diabetic. She got a glucometer and she started analyzing her responses to foods. And within a month or so, she really, really controlled her blood sugars such that they were almost always normal. And she got a really great report card from her OBGYN saying, you know, you're doing great. Whatever you're doing, keep it up because you're controlling your blood sugars now. Many of my patients complain that their doctors don't bother warning them about a hemoglobin A1C, let's say 5.8 or 5.9 or even 6.1, because they're older. And the threshold of old is not that old. They might be 55 or 62, and doctors just don't say anything about it. But that's because doctors are so used to deteriorating hemoglobin A1Cs in their patients as they age that they almost think it's inevitable. But it's not good. And it is not something that has to happen. It's just a product of slowing down and eating too much and usually putting on too much weight. And it should be addressed. And even before you're diabetic, because when you're diabetic, then the doctors want to pile on medications. But it's best to take a preemptive approach. And it should be addressed when you're ranging into the high fives and you cross the threshold of six, even without diabetes, because one of the most important prognostic values of hemoglobin A1C is that it is a very, very strong harbinger of cardiometabolic syndrome, which is insulin resistance, syndrome X, variously known as metabolic syndrome. That's the leading pathway to strokes and heart attacks, bar none. This is, I think, trumps cholesterol and triglycerides and LDL and all the commonly agreed upon risk factors. A borderline hemoglobin A1C is a precursor to many degenerative conditions like Alzheimer's, as Dr. Perlmutter points out in a quote that I read earlier, but other degenerative conditions like osteoarthritis and osteoporosis, and even cancer risk has been linked to elevated hemoglobin A1C, even in the absence of overt diabetes. So you have a hemoglobin A1C of 6.2, well, you know, maybe that's not formally diabetes, that's considered pre-diabetes, or even 6.0 or 5.9, you're still going to experience a higher risk of most cancers, especially cancers like prostate cancer and breast cancer. These are often associated with insulin resistance, high levels of insulin, have a growth-promoting effect on certain hormonal cancers, but also pancreatic cancer, very much associated with the borderline, even borderline hemoglobin A1C. So at this point, let's pause because we divide these podcasts into two parts, and we'll talk a little bit more about the hemoglobin A1C test. Is it foolproof? Does it always provide a clear delineation of your blood sugar control? Well, listen to part two to find out.